Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. How are you? How is everyone out there? Happy October. Happy veils are thinning. I wouldn't say happy, but intense veils are thinning. So we're gonna.
Yeah.
I have no idea where this month's gypsy wagon hour will take us, but I can get an inkling that it will be deep. It will be hopefully insightful. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Normally I really organize out a list and lessons. And to be honest, I'm like feeling the intensity of the time and all of it. And I'm just going to, I've got my decks and I've got a poem that came up. But other than that, I think we're going to go with the flow. What do you think, Iggy?
I'm kind of with you there. Everything is kind of, I don't know, it's like someone's messing with the timeline or something.
Tell me more about that. I'm really intrigued. That resonates.
Well, the only reason I brought that up is because I was trying to post something before I went on to Facebook, before we went on the show. And now my Facebook won't let me post anything. It's like, and it's showing all my posts from 2015. Which is kind of weird. And so, you know, my friends and I, who my other set of friends I have, we sit around, we talk about how, you know, in the future, you know, projected future, there are people who try to come back and into this present moment to change things that have caused catastrophes and things, you know, to avoid something that wasn't right, to make something right that was something that was wrong. But in the process, they keep screwing everything else up, so you never really fix anything. I think it's kind of like supposed to just happen. You're supposed to just let things be as they are and work through them and process through them. And
okay, that reminds me of the movie Butterfly Effect. I think I've seen a movie where that is the theme.
Sure, the butterfly effect is very huge. You know, one reaction causes another reaction to change another outcome into the future. One person just does one act of kindness can change the whole world. And just one person's, you know, actions, you know, just think of all the people who, all the actions they had to do to get you to where you are today. Just one slight variation in that can mean the difference in how you live today. But also, you know, the things that the decisions, they also right or wrong, it molds you, it makes you. It's just, that's the whole show in itself. I'm going to do a show on that because I find that very fascinating.
Yes, please do a show on that.
We're all one.
Well, you know, my daughter, because I believe in past lives, when she was very, very tiny, and I hear other moms and dads and clients of mine say, man, I remember my kid talking about, you know, other, when I was big, when I was small, when I was on this planet. And the majority of the time, you know, people go, oh, ha, 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 or that didn't happen. But for me, what I did is I go, oh my gosh, tell me more. And what happened is that my daughter has retained her access to the space-time continuum. And she just nonchalant, and she's not a woo-woo-y girl like her mom. Don't get me wrong. She's very factual, very orderly. But what she believes, she believes. And what she knows, she knows. And she told me just yesterday, this reminds me because of what you're bringing up, you know, I think she was telling me about her last lifetime because I had a little girl who was getting her hair cut, and she was obsessed with chemicals in the air, and Shay said, I wonder if she was in the Holocaust. And she goes, you know, my last lifetime was actually in the future, Mom. She goes, I was all the way. So what you're telling me makes sense, especially when it comes to incarnation. You know, she said, I was at the end of time when the sun was spewing. That was my last lifetime. The sun was. And I wish I would have taken some time to get the details on what the sun was doing. But she said it was our last time, how she's so powerful. And then, but very interesting, she decided to incarnate 2005 to come back to this time. And she's very specific. She knows what she came here to do. She is an engineer. I've been watching her build battery systems, ovens, wheelchairs, different things from the time she was very little, materials in the garage. So she, you know, I have a feeling we're going to have a, or some visions that we're going to have, you know, obviously
goosebumps.
In our life.
Goosebumps.
You're getting the goosebumps. In this lifetime, we're going to have some, you know, some structures falling, which we already do due to natural events, but we're going to have some more. And, you know, she's part of the team that comes here to rebuild new, you know, and she specifically says electrical engineering. She came in with the codes to do, you know, something, but she's 12, so I don't think she knows her full details yet. But she,
wow.
She picked me because she knew I wasn't going to say, no, you be like me, or no, do this. I said, what are you here to do? Tell me everything. How can I help you, little spirit, big spirit?
That just blew my mind, man.
She blows my mind.
Whoa.
You're right. These spirits, all these beautiful grandchildren of yours that are being born, they're being born at this time. They probably are what you're talking about, the people from the future. And she explains, mm-hmm. you know, time is not linear. It's circular. You can go back. You can go forth. You can come back at any time and be born. So, you know,
wow.
Add that to your butterfly effect theory before you do your show, you know.
Yeah, maybe I should get your daughter on my show.
I know shit.
We just call her anonymous. Protect the innocent. But yeah. No, but that's pretty powerful, you know, when you think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Because, you know, time is an illusion, right? It's not real. And there's multiple timelines.
What I found is I can change it. And I had to change it so that people don't get mad at me when I'm working a lot in the salon and I'm behind. So mm-hmm. I'll look at the time and I'll see that
okay.
I have 10 minutes till the next person comes in for a 30-minute haircut. And what I've learned to do, and I cannot tell you how, is to understand on a subconscious level that time does not exist and that I get to change and manipulate it like in the Matrix. And somehow, I think it's just believing. I'm not able to describe how I can do it, but I can do that 30-minute haircut if I say it will be done at this time. When I look at the clock, it happens. And this has been for the last about 2 years I've been able to change and manipulate time and not have to need a watch. I can actually, like when I wake up, I know what time it is. I'm like, oh, it's probably about 9:32. And I look, it's about 9:31, 9:32. It's like time is an interesting concept for sure. It's going, for not being real, it does sure seem to be going kind of quickly.
I'm going to try that with my bills and see if that works.
I mean, it could.
Today is 10/11/2017. I will not have to pay bills until the 16th, and the 16th will never come. It'll be like Groundhog Day.
Everything about manifestation is about if you believe it or not. So like the other day, so I launched my course, which I want to tell everyone more about because I don't think there's clarity around this course as much. You know, I'd like to describe it a little more and maybe even read a sample lesson because that might be fun. But the thing about it is like, you know, I sold 2 enrollments the first day. So Monday, and which is I'm really grateful for because it could be the first time that I developed the 12 steps to authenticity. You know, I channeled it from spirit, and then I, my friend Heather helped me set up a venue, organize it. I printed out the packets, I had the practices, and no one showed up. This was like, geez, 5-6 years ago. I was in bed for a month, depressed. I didn't understand why the universe would give me so much information and that no one felt called. But a lot of this content is empowering content where a lot of people are still feeling very disempowered. They're waiting for Captain Save-A-Ho to come in and save them. Oh, Trump's going to be our Captain Save-A-Ho. He's going to fix everything. Or Hillary's
I never heard
of
that
Captain
one. That's
Save-A-Ho.
Funny.
I'm telling you, people are waiting for their Captain Save-A-Ho. Well, guess what, people? they're not coming. You are the one to save you. You are your knight in shining armor. You are your knight, your princess or queen or whatever.
Amen.
You know, like, yes.
Amen.
And I can't. And so here you have all this self-help and all this stuff. Since the 80s, 90s, I remember my mom buying, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're damaged. Here's how to fix that. Well, this course is in my teachings and my sessions. I are about like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You came in like my daughter who remembers, but you forgot. You forgot why you came here. Let me contact the Akashic Records and help you remember. And let's get real detailed. And what are your illusions that are keeping you from this? And what are your ancestor patterns that are coming up to help or harm this? And it's, you know, it's different. It's different. So I don't think people, as many people are getting it as I wish were. And it's early. I mean, you know, in the fake time
sure.
continuum, you know, people are just now like, I think it's going to take, people don't change until they're at their bottom most of the time. Right. So I'll just
yeah,
hold
mm-hmm.
on to these tools till, because there are people that are there that are like, okay, I'm getting it. No one's going to save me. It's time to build community and do this.
It's true.
I get frustrated because I get all this information. I just want people to hear it and get it. And there are some, so I'm going to be happy with that. And maybe, you know, share a little more about it. Did you get a chance, Iggy, to look over the landing page or the enrollment page to the 12 Steps to Authentic Goddess Code?
You know, what's funny, now that you mentioned that, I did see your
mm-hmm.
post. And
mm-hmm.
so, first of all, I didn't look at it. I'll tell you why. Because
mm-hmm.
there was it was labeled Authentic Goddess, so I figured, well, maybe it's not
mm-hmm.
for me then. So right off the bat,
right.
I just kind of like mentally just went... Maybe it's something that it's more geared to the feminine side of humanity versus the masculine side of humanity. So, no, I haven't looked at it, to be honest with you, no.
That's a great point, because if you look at the page, it says it's for every gender. And if I could go back, which I might when I relaunch it, just put the authentic code, but yes, men tapping into their feminine energy. And I go into some depth through the question and answers and some in the description of the course. This is for every pronoun, we, you know, she, him, we, they. It's about the feminine side in general. And it also does tap into the masculine side, because there's a very false, I have some representation of men in my life, and they'll admit they have some very false, you know, masks of masculinity build up. Men don't cry. Men don't feel. Men don't nurture. And so it's kind of, it definitely, my market is definitely not men, because I'm not a man. So I don't know where you guys are coming from. But so there's definitely, I definitely anticipate more women joining the course than men. But I'm very specific that it is for anyone who wants to get deeper into who they are and what they came here for. But ultimately, even says my astrology chart, I'm here to work. I incarnated as a female this time to work with groups of women, which then ultimately does heal the masculine. Because guess what? If we're not nagging you to take care of us and fix us and listen to us all the time, then you get to be the divine masculine. So I'm working on both teams here.
All right.
Oh. but it's, I say that because I do that. You know what I mean? Like, I look at the wounded mat. If I think of my partner, Michael, and he'll laugh because first of all, he doesn't listen to my shows half of the time. And I go, oh, if you just listened to the show, you know, and he's like, I don't really have a need to, I'm fine. But
none
if I'm
of my family
like,
listens to my show, so don't feel bad.
You don't either?
Yeah, so. What are you doing?
How do you feel
I'm
about
doing
that?
My radio show. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. Would you like to listen? Maybe get some insight to me.
Exactly. That's the connection piece that I long for. That's the connection of healing, you know, we can say feminine or masculine, but healing the God goddess energy in ourselves is connection. I mean, I've had my guides tell me as I'm waking up from sleep, you're not here to do, you know, 20 shavasanas this month or you know, vinyasas, yoga poses. You're not here to meditate a total of 100.5 hours. You're not here to, you know, climb Mount Everest per se, or go to India and study from the Indian gurus. We're here to connect. And if those actions bring us to a deeper connection to another human being, animal, or Mother Earth, then yes, so goddess be it, or God goddess be it. But my spiritual teachings that I'm getting from my guides is we're here to connect in an authentic, deeper way. So that's what, you know, the 12 steps that was channeled are about, is like, how can you know you take off your mask so that you can be able to connect with people? I mean, I feel so disconnected from some of the people in my same home, from my family, you know, and I love them very, very much. But yeah, there's something going on here where we're focusing on Facebook, social media, and outside. We're kind of in the collective subconscious, which I call Facebook and Instagram. That is our collective subconscious. And I wish that we could, you know, I've had moments where I'm connecting deeply with humans one-to-one, and that's actually what I want more of. I really, really do. I long for deep connection. And again, that's what this course is set up, is for people to get into groups, to practice these practices themselves, and then to once a week to get together with a friend or your group of peeps that you've decided to do this with. And yeah, and then you get to connect on authentic things rather than getting together and saying, how are you? How are you? We're going over dramatic stories.
Good, good.
How many of you out there don't want to go hang out with people or a group of people because you know they're just going to get into their drama and they're just going to get into the issues of the times with no solution?
I like that. I like what you said at the beginning of your conversation about sometimes people are called to go to India, called to go to here. I'm actually called to be here, which is kind of funny. I'm not from here. I was born in Peru, but my journey brought me here. But yeah, I really don't have any draw to go outside this country at the moment. Like, I'm not looking for a spiritual journey in India. I'm not looking for a spiritual journey in Peru or anything like that. I'm kind of, here is kind of like where it's at for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to see here. There's a lot to do here.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I think this is a great opening for the poem that I picked out, because it starts out saying, this is no time for small talk, which is like what I'm saying. Like, I really want to be with people like you, Iggy, and what we're doing here, which is like getting into the deep, real concepts of life. So there's the spiritual side, and then there's the day-to-day side, which is like, you know, being at births, being with people through deaths, being, you know, the fact that, you know, people are human and they make mistakes, and then they, you know, just like we had, you know, with our close friend recently, it's like life on life's terms is going to happen. It's going to happen, and that's when we practice our spirituality, our humanness. And I guess me bringing that up means that the ultimate goal is for, well, I guess karmic resolution, one, but also the way I'm seeing it so far is one of the ultimate goals is connection. So using, you know, like I told you, Iggy, earlier today that, you know, what did I wake up to? Oh, our cat has fleas. And it's like, are you serious? Okay, well, that's the real deal. You know, I can go dissociate and do 100 chants, or I can literally just start washing everything and getting the flea medicine on the cat. Like, that's my spiritual practice. It's like doing – it's like not shifting blame on anyone else, breathing,
right, right.
feeling my body, and being with life on life's terms. Mm-hmm.
And the cat saying, thank you very much.
I know. I gave him a kiss. I said, I know. It's
no.
not your fault. It happens every year, and we take care of it. And it doesn't freak
mm-hmm.
me out too bad. It freaks Michael out, but I know that it'll, I mean, gosh, it'll be fine. So we've really been looking forward to meditating with you guys, and the sirens are done. So I'm just going to read this poem, and then if it feels right, sit with me for a couple moments afterwards, and we'll process it. This is no time for small talk. This is a time for myth-making. This is a time for epic poetry. This is a time to tell the tales of life, love, and resilience that will become our compass for the days ahead. A time to remember the grace and celebrate the magic that infuses and informs this world. We live on the only planet where an eclipse is possible. Doesn't that seem like instructions for you? To awaken from this self-induced slumber, to emerge from this contracted isolation. We've got to drink down the darkness and dive into our deepest fathoms. We've got to peel off our fancy garments of presumed protection, to land at the bottom naked, cold, bruised, with nowhere to go but up. Time we shed the venom that has got us here, the twisted rage of blame and shame, and choose instead the anger that rises pure and clean up through our feet, that draws us to our full heights, knowing what must be done, clear about what has to stop, igniting us to stand for what we love. How else can we begin the healing? The web that holds our world together is tattered, and all our hopes and dreams are suspended in it. No sutures, butterfly closures, or Elmer's glue can fix it. Only our tears can begin to mend its torn strands. Tears and giving ourselves to feeling, loving, and losing. Mourning how much is dying, and mourning so that the light can return. The revolution must have dancing. The music will light our hearts with fire. The stories will bathe our dreams in honey and fill our bellies with stars. And that is by Nina Simmons. And I really think it sits
nice.
With what we were talking about, what's going on in the world, all the venom, blame, and shame going around, what I talked about, how people have to land at the bottom, naked, cold, and bruised with nowhere to go until they are ready. You know what I mean? And I remember you telling Maggie one time when I was depressed, you know, I'd go through bouts of depression in the past. When did you stop singing? When did you stop dancing? And I have not been
mm-hmm.
depressed since I have cried, learned to cry. When I need to cry, I sob. When I need to dance, I dance with a fever.
mm-hmm.
And
I haven't been
depressed since.
Good.
And the ancestors have taught me that too. Mine and then other people's. When I go into sessions and if they ask to come through and speak, they often say, cry the tears that I did not get to cry. They've taught me that, you know, we all, the tears that they didn't cry, when they die, it goes into us to cry. So sometimes if you catch yourself wanting to cry and you're like, I don't know why, these aren't necessarily, I mean, your little bit of grief is tapping into their great collective grief. And then if you're really in tune, your ancestor grief along with your own personal stories tap into the collective grief. And it's
mm-hmm.
it's true. The more we can cry and wail as much as dance and rejoice. But you can't dance and rejoice on top of grief very well if you're stuffing it. At least that's what I've noticed. Have you ever cried in one day and then also had an ecstatic dance party? That's like my life.
I got struck with like grief and sadness, you know, just because thinking about life and thinking about my friends and thinking about my grandkids and just everything was just like, I had to pull over. I got so emotional that I just started crying, just busted out crying. I'm in there, I'm wailing on the side of the road, you know, and I was just like, man.
Wow.
What was that all about? I was like, there's just so much that's been going on. You know, there's so much joy and so much ugliness and so much untapped and everything in the world. Just everything just kind of hit me. Like, it was like I got busted with this big ball of energy and I just didn't know what to do with it. It was like I felt everything at that moment, that slight moment. And it was just like, because I know, and you kind of sent me a text right around that same time asking me, you know, what's going on? Almost like you knew, like I was kind of in a weird place. But several people did that. And I was just like, one friend thought I was having like this nervous breakdown. She was going to come over and help me, come talk to me or whatever. And it wasn't that. It wasn't that I was depressed. It was just like, I was just like, wow. You know, we're here one day and we can be gone tomorrow, just like that. And be ready to move into the next existence.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, so you really were feeling that, the expansion of anything can happen at any time. And it even blows my mind knowing you and knowing you like before you had grandchildren. And now it's like you're like the grandfather of all grandfathers. You having all these epic grandkids, I could see in their face. I'm like, whoa, there's a powerful spirit. Holy moly, this one's born during a thunderstorm. Oh, my gosh.
I got a new one, Leonardo, Ignacio Leonardo. He's named after me, so. He gets to carry the Iggy torch, so we'll see what happens with him. He was born on 1/1 in the afternoon.
Wow. Whoa.
So he's another one of those. I think all these kids that are born now are gifted, and they're going to change the world.
I do, too.
They've got good teachers.
I was they're what?
They have good teachers.
They're teachers? Mm-hmm.
They have good teachers.
I like that. I certainly am curious what their generation will be called. What, we had the indigo. I know I'm definitely the stereotypical indigo. And then we have the millennials, which is funny. I wonder what will happen with them. The majority seems so lost. But then we have our
super millennials.
Next generation.
They're called the super. The next group is called super millennials. I'm like, whoa.
That's not very unique.
No.
I'm not pleased with that one.
I don't like that one.
I don't like that either. Give them a whole call them rainbow unicorns. Don't call them super millennials.
They're going to stay in the basement much longer.
No. I've waited as long as I can to get my daughter a phone because, you know, the zombification of the phone thing is like, and I do believe, you know, I don't want to get into politics or anything, but we've got people working to take down our grid. We've got the solar flares and we've got the astrology.
Sure.
This is conspiracy theory stuff. If you guys like this, I don't subscribe that this will happen, but we have most of the more popular astrologers saying that we have another financial collapse coming up this fall. And so, and then within 2 years, the top astrologers said, I hope you're living sustainably. I hope you're living, you know, somewhat off the grid, which is my goal, actually, a year to be off the grid, but two tops. And it's not a fear tactic. It's very soothing to me. I don't want to keep living in a house, contacting people majority through the phone. I've had experiences, you know, at Wild Women gatherings and different trips and gatherings of waking up and eating breakfast with a community and speaking from the heart the majority of the day and then going to retreat with nature. And that is more of, you know, returning back to that living is so satisfying. Like everybody's like, oh my God, why am I depressed? Why do I have issues? Because we're freaking isolated in this, you know, individualistic society. I don't want the latest car. I don't want the latest phone. I want to know what lives in you. I want to know where you're from and where you're going, you know. That's what I'm I want part of this structure to fall. I'm like, let it fall, not in a detrimental way. Just, I'm like, this is not fucking serving. I don't want my daughter to stay in a school system which represses them. And you see it. You see it. So I volunteer on Thursdays in a school cafeteria. And this is a very sweet private school. They're not as bad as public. But you see the small children, kindergarten, first, second grade, and they're little wildlings, free, feeling, joy, playing. And then you get the fourth, fifth graders, and they're in between. They're starting to get a little repressed, but they're still kids. They're still having fun. And then the middle schoolers come in for their 20-minute lunch, and they're a little dead in the eyes. I'm not going to lie. Now, of course, part of that's the hormone, you know, switching over. But it is from a culture that says, do not cry, work real hard, here's your 3 hours of math homework. My daughter wants to go out and play basketball and play in the earth and be a kid. And so, like, I'm not really cool with how I'm not cool with it. And I'm also, you know, like many of us, I don't want to say a prisoner to it, that's really strong, but like, you know, it doesn't make sense. I've actually tried to just get out of it. Like, I'm not even someone who you can say, well, then you should change it. Like, I've been to the meetings for intentional communities. I filled out forms to go live on intentional communities and got denied. And so it's divine timing. It's spirit timing. I know you've tried too. I went to your meeting for intentional community living.
No one could agree on disagreeing or agreeing to agree. That was the big issue.
Right. Oh,
it wasn't. It wasn't that no one wanted to live in intentional communities. It's just nobody could agree to say, oh, we're going to go here, we're going to go there. Some people said that we're just going to let it fall in our hands. You really have to work for it. You really want intentional community, you have to work for it. You really have to know what you want. And you have to be really dedicated to, you know, live off the grid or live in a community that works together as a community. There's so many different styles and so many different ways you can approach that. We just couldn't agree on which one was best for all of us. And then it got kind of exclusive, and that's kind of when I dropped out of it, because they started excluding this group and that person. They didn't want this kind of people. You know, that's not intentional community. But, I mean, I know you want to live with certain, you know, types of people, maybe who do holistic work or whatever, or people who are of certain nationality or backgrounds, because I didn't like that. I figured that's kind of – I wanted to live in a place where everybody can just get along and work together, chop wood, cook meals, you know, just get along. Biggest thing.
And like have diversity or?
Diversity, of course.
You mean like have to, yeah.
You don't want to just be one type of group of person or peoples living in one area. You know, it's not a commune. It's a community. It's something that's very important. That was what for me.
That was what you want. See, I wasn't clear exactly what I wanted. I did spend hours and hours. So if you guys out there are interested in this, ic.org, you can go through thousands of different, and they have communes, they have intentional communities, they have people that do like Iggy's saying, they chop the wood together, they cook together. That you can find some in the cities where they share. I mean, there's one here in Columbus, Ohio, where these single moms got together, four of them, and they're sharing the duties of cooking, cleaning, taking kids to the doctor. So there are people that are already moving towards these alternative ways. I have a vision of what, like, I really, so the one that I like is like the one in, there's two, one in Costa Rica. Gosh, I cannot wait to get there someday soon. Universe, did you hear that? There's one there, it's called Pachamama, and it's, you know, what you were saying, they are all into like, you know, well-being, yoga, these things, but almost too much. It almost felt like it was too much of a love and light community. Whereas I'm a more, I like a balance. I like real life mixed with, I dated someone in the past who was like, everything's all love and light. And it was like, and I remember the very first Root Wire that I went to, you know, I got there and it was just, there's a fakeness to all love and light to me, because we live in a world where there's suffering and that things aren't all love and light. So I'm not a fan of that. But what they do have, Well, I mean, that would be great, but that's what happens when we die. We didn't come here for love and light. We came here for love, light, pain, suffering, connection, a little bit more love, light, and then pain, suffering, and then connection. At least that's my opinion, but
it's true.
But yeah, so I didn't go to that one. It looks a little stuck up, so that's probably why the universe didn't have me go there, because I'm not into that. In fact, the best community that I've found so far, but it's only an online community and then a once-a-year festival, is the Wild Women, because it embodies, a lot of things that I stand for, dance, yoga, but, processing trauma and being real and anatomy of the body. But I would like men to come too. I do like men. And I do understand, going and doing a separate thing. But my community, I want some man in there. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen for sure. I mean, part of it, honestly, is having either the connection to someone to abundance, or the ability to have the ability to clothe and feed yourself before you can transfer over into a whole new community, I would think.
Gotta learn how to eat off the land.
Exactly.
If that's what you're going to do.
Right.
I want both.
Like,
yeah.
What's that?
I want to be able to come and go if I please too, you know.
Yes. Yes, me too. If I want to go into town, go see a movie. Yeah, I agree. Excuse me. Wow, this time is going really, really, really fast. I have some good news I want to share.
Sweet.
Or is it commercial time? Okay.
After you share, we'll go commercial.
All right, cool. So I got contacted by Columbus Alive, which is the kind of the big paper now in Columbus, because it has all the, concerts and events, and I don't know how they found me, but they, the columnist, writer of the party column got a hold of me yesterday and wants to do an article interview and a photo shoot for Shakti Shakedown. Is that not fun?
Congratulations. Yeah.
I'm
shaking
so
it down.
Excited.
Sure,
well,
it should be.
So my vision with it, again, is very futuristic. It's not super clear. I don't think it's when I say new era, I'm always bringing in these new things. It's like, so I want, I want the muggles to mix with the magical people, because I ultimately believe everyone's magical. Just people have been trained to be muggles. So, by having spiritual practice, drum circle, and mixing, modern, funky, don't have to be anything too spiritual about it. Dancing, and mixing it all together. Like, that was my vision. And it's almost been a year now that I've been doing it. So yeah, be looking out for Dawn of the New Era in Columbus Alive.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And the next Shakti Shakedown is October 19th, which is a new moon. So we're going to do a new moon ceremony and then some dancing.
All right, let's go to a break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to withinsightsradio.com.
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome back to WithInsightsRadio.com. You are listening to the Gypsy Wagon with your host, Don Thompson, from Dawn of the New Era. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. I got my cards out. I'm ready to do a reading for everybody. And, of course, I'm always available to do private readings, one-on-one, phone or in person if you're in Columbus, Ohio. But I really want to get some more insight. We've talked about some freaking deep, awesome stuff, and it sounds like Iggy and I are both in this, like, state of, feeling really big, and I don't know if the word's melancholy. I would just say I feel grief. I feel grief. In fact, if I talk too much about it, I will cry, and I can cry later.
Cry later.
Yeah, God, I've been crying so much. My goddess. I'm going to ask Spirit, our guides, my guides, allies, angels, and my star beings that teach through me. And I'm going to ask them, you know, what is, for the month, in the month of October is all about the veils thinning. And I'm very curious, like, what is it thinning to? And what does anyone who hears this show, this message now or in the future, what is the ultimate, most highly benevolent message for us? Because we are seeking some guidance, some reassurance, some messages. Okay. All right. So I used my Mist of Avalon deck. That's like my witchy cosmic deck. It's got Merlin in it. It's got some totems in it, some animal totems and different archetypes for us. And we actually have two of the females popping up. We have the Lady of the Lake right in the middle, and she's, both these ladies are looking really alone. They look kind of alone and sad. Like, and what I hear them both saying is that, it's funny because the one on the left is more wild. She's holding a sword dipped in water, and she is connected to the frog, cleaning house, releasing your emotional baggage. And even the frog, little frog totem, looks really tender, really innocent. And so you can call on the energy of the frog to help during this grief and this process of, he's right next to the deer, which is gentleness. You know, so being, and they both, which I, you know, it's interesting when I read with this deck, because what I see in the pictures of the cards is different for every reading. And I've had these cards for so long. And these two particular animals side by side, the frog and the deer, gentleness, cleaning out your inside, outside house, and releasing emotional baggage, letting this grief flow. They both are turned and facing right at us with the most tender eyes. And what they're recommending you do as a practice is to, you know, at some point today or soon, is to go to the mirror and look into your eyes and have the most gentle, sweet compassion for yourself. Give yourself the words that you've been of comfort that you've been wanting to hear from others. You know, look into the mirror and say, if it's me, I see you, Dawn. Oh, you're so sad. You long to be connected to your friend. You long to be connected in deep connection. And you know, I see you. I see your suffering, and I'm here for you, and I love you so much. And like I said, you can call in the frog for the help with the emotions, and you can call in deer to remain gentle, because sometimes when we're feeling hurt, this wonderful, powerful emotion called anger comes in to protect us, and it's that's okay too. But if you notice that the anger is getting too strong this month, And the way you call on is simply to literally call on, and Iggy might have more insight on how he does it, but I simply maybe put the picture of the deer on my little altar, my ever-changing altar, and say, thank you, deer, for coming in and bringing your medicine of gentleness. I accept. I receive. So above the gentleness is this Lady of the Lake, and she stands for truth, courage, self-respect, and responsibility. So not only, you know, there's a lot going on right now, and you know, you might feel alone and emotional, and you still have to do your responsibilities. And that's always the case, is trying to balance. How do you go to soccer practice, but still take that 5 minutes to pull over on the road and feel your emotions? It's a balance of both. You're not going to stuff in your emotions, and hopefully you're not going to, stuff in your emotions and go do what you got to do. That's the old mask paradigm. And you're not going to, you know, go, oh, I can't go to this thing because I just got to fill it and just like sweat hair and fill it. And, you know, it's finding that balance between the two. Call in spirit. So one of the benefits of it being October is that spirit is the realms of the dimensions are traditionally, you know, they're a little bit easier for people to access. So connecting to the angelic realm, connecting to your star beings, spirit is available to access. And I know, like, we've been taught, some people have been taught, like, freaking look at Halloween. Ooh, it's scary and demonic and witches are evil. And that whole illusion came about a couple hundred years ago so that you wouldn't be able to access spirit power to help heal and do what you got to do. So, you know, it's pure. And you can even set protection around it, call in spirit. Just huge call for integrity, responsibility, and courage right now. And what embodies that is the king or queen dynamic. So, you know, and I mentioned this in my course, there's a whole section on maiden, mother, crone, or there is three for men. I don't know what it is. I don't remember. But it's there's these three aspects of humans. And there's, it's like, you know, the young, reproductive, you know, full of ideas, but not quite accumulated. Then there's the king queen dynamic of us, which is the embodiment of the producing of fertility, of power, of sexuality, of unified friendships that have been built through the first phase. And so that's really what you're cleaning out to get to. You're kind of, you know, crying, grieving, so that you can go into this next phase, which isn't the night. Okay, thank you, Spirit. It's not the night. It's not the maiden and the night phase. You may be in that phase, and that's okay, but collectively, we're being asked to get out of that. And what does the princess or the knight want to do? The knight wants to save, and the princess wants to be saved. And when we're leaving that into the king queen phase. What does a king queen do? Well, if you're in your, you know, if I think of myself as a queen, instantly my back elongates. I breathe deeper. I've learned to respect myself. I've learned that no matter what I go through, have been through, that I will not abandon me. And then the other side of the coin is, even though we are the only ones that will be with us from birth to death, we are our own saviors. We're still, again, that polarity balance. We're still here to connect with others and to, you know, respect and to do our responsibilities and to find that balance of creation with confidence. So thank you, Queen and King Energy. And then lastly, right underneath all this is a little shadow guy. His name's the Goblin. The Goblin, and he's the wounded human ego, and he's our dark, dark, dark place, the one that has kind of been lurking around in the shadows, and he's coming forth to say that, yes, you have, everyone has this dark little twisted part of themselves, because that's just life, we're just humans, and that it's time to be a little bit more playful with that part. So rather than demonizing that part of you, let me think, I like to give personal examples. So I would say my darkest twisted spot is definitely my anger. I could say really harsh things to get space and boundaries. And my stubbornness, I can be like, you're wrong, I'm right. So I have this like twisted know-it-all person in me. So how I would transmute that little goblin ego part of me is to welcome it in and make it more playful. Maybe even imagine putting a silly hat on know-it-all Dawn and go, oh, Dawn, you think you know-it-all sometimes. You're so cute. And like, I see like a little gesture in the court, like turning it. So however that means to you, like it's about not demonizing the parts of yourself that you're like, oh, this sucks. Like, I wish I wasn't addicted to this, or I wish I didn't have this part of me. Ah. Like, try to find a way to be curious about it and a little bit even playful around it. And there's different techniques, but this is just kind of a mini reading, so I'm not going to go too far into that. But yeah, that's October. How freaking intense.
Mm-hmm. And we're not even halfway there yet.
No, we're not. This is true. This is true. There's a real need to be in comfort and find something comfortable in all this awkwardness and sadness and grief. And so, you know, and October traditionally is, you know, more of a grief here where we live, because everything's dying. You know, our beautiful gardens are going to die and the leaves are leaving, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
I'm bringing my sweet grass in this year.
Oh,
I have it in pots this year.
Nice. Smart.
Yep. That way I can have sweet grass all year long.
That's
sweet grass.
Good idea. Oh, I love sweet grass.
I've been burning
much.
It during the show. It just smells so good.
Well, Iggy, I would love to get together with you soon.
Sure.
Yeah, I would love that. And I would love to, take the last few minutes. I think you really inspired me, even though I believe that everybody is incarnated. Most people have incarnated as a girl or a boy in different lifetimes. And even though, you know, that I might change my course to authentic code, that way other people can use it. But I am going to go over for the last few minutes, just because I've worked 8 years now on this and hours and hours and hours and hours to put it into an organized course, I'm just going to go over a couple pieces to it, the 12 topics. Thank you. So we have
all of those who want to know, you've been doing this show since 2015, and this is like your 30th episode. I forgot to tell you that. So.
That's a lot. 30 hours?
Yeah. Once a month, an hour. Dedication.
We are so dedicated. I can't believe it's been that long. Thank you. So glad you helped set this up for me. You set this up for me. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
So yeah, if you want, I'm gonna go ahead and post on Facebook, you know, the show, and then just a link. And the link to the 12 weeks is, the first one is gratitude, where we kind of dive into kind of exploring the attributes that everyone has, because I feel like as a culture, we're always looking at what's quote unquote wrong with us, or what do we need to fix. So this week's really, the first week of the authentic code is to say, what are you good at? What you got going on? And so every week has a teaching, Dawn of the New Era teaching, a practice for the week, and then a journal prompt. And then you could do it alone, or like I said, you could do it with a friend, or even better, get a group of your friends together, do it, and then maybe on Sunday evening, process it through, you know, online chat or in person. Second week is optimism, staying positive during all the shadowy dark times. So we kind of go into your shadow sides that eat those little, what was I calling them? The little ego goblins, and bring them to the light. Explore our fears, recycle them out. And I talk a little bit about how affirmations work and the laws of attraction. Third week is judging and comparing. We take inventory of our survival mechanisms and attributes. So that would be, you know, any way that we dissociate from the world. And I go really into detail of those different things. And then we have a practice to affirm self-love and gifts to the world. The fourth week is on kindness and vulnerability and how to get out of self and our ego. my saying that I came up with when I finally got done with being sugar spice and everything nice is like, I no longer will be nice. I will be a kind person, but screw this nice crap because it's fake. So I go a little bit into detail of that. The next week is about community and social relationships. So we talked about the IC.org, and I have a lot of resources of different communities that if you're feeling lonely, you can connect to. The next week is about strategies for coping. Like we talked about that today, life has so many ups and downs. We're going to take an inventory of what your coping mechanisms are during tough times, take the ones out that are no longer working, and then add some new ones that, you know, that will be easy to add day to day. The next week is forgiveness. You know, everyone has their old wounds and past grudges. So in this week, we learn how to acknowledge that pain, release it, and then I go over the, you know, the Ho'oponopono, the definition of guilt and shame, because they are two different things, and people need to know that they're living in a lot of shame. And guilt is the belief that you've done something wrong. Shame is that there's just inherently something wrong with you. And so we really need to get to the core of there's nothing wrong with anyone. The next one's one of my favorite, mindfulness, body tracking, settling into the body, which we never got to today, and that's okay. I do that most times, but I also, you know, that's okay. So some somatic exercises, some mindful exercises, and how to apply them in your day-to-day life, you know, how you do it for 5 minutes before you go to the grocery store when you're exhausted. One of my favorites was the joy, and it was one of the hardest classes to create this celebration for life and how to, you know, how to incorporate more dance, movement, song, and play. The goals. So the next one, the 10th one is the week is about setting goals. And it's a hilarious week because I assume everyone's going to open that week up when it's time and think that they're going to have some type A personality, first do A, B, C, D. But it's really about taking out what you think you should be doing and as a survivalist and getting into you've allotted a short fraction amount of time. That's what incarnation is. You decided you get 50 to 100 years of this time to complete something. So it's about finding out what you're here to complete in that time. What is going to make your heart soar? So the 11th week is spirituality, or no, it's taking care of your body. So self-care, taking stock of what you do for your body. I go a little bit into nutrition because as many of you know, if you're listening to the show last year and the year before, I had hair loss, teeth loss. I was literally, my body was diminishing before my eyes and there was no MD or doctor that would or could help me. Therefore, I learned to tap into my intuition and research alternative methods to nutrition. So I share about that if you're having some health stuff. And then the last week is spirituality, which mine is returning like a child, being full of wonder and curiosity. And I just hope that people leave this course with their spirit inspired, soaring, knowing themselves a little bit more. And if they do it, if you do it with a group of people, kind of like a book club, you know, you just get together once a week, maybe for an hour and go, wow, you know, I learned that these are my survival mechanisms, you know, a bottle of wine every night and watching Netflix every night. This is not what I do, but I know lots of people that do and it's okay. And even getting together and speaking of it, putting your little goblin that you've been hiding into the light is going to diminish its power over you. So this is a very, very powerful course. And I'm just going to keep, you know, giving people the inkling of what it's about so that they understand a little more. Because it's new. It's different. And I get, like, new different is it's confusing at first. Like, what is this? I don't even know. But, yeah, so that's available now. As soon as you purchase it, you have access the first 2 weeks. And then every 7 days the next week you have access to. And again, if you're in the area, if you're in Columbus, Ohio, come to the New Moon Intention and Dance on October 19th and have a great Halloween or Day of the Dead, whatever you, you know, whatever you celebrate. have a great one, and stay safe and solid. Find that safety in your body. Spirit's been very clear, just the very picky beginning of October. You're going to find your sense of safety and grounding inside of you, not someone or something else. So that is a very deep practice.
All right. Guess what? We're at the end of the show.
We're at the end. That was a quick hour. My goodness.
Yeah, goes fast. Goes fast. Again, I want to
thank
you
all
for being
so
on.
Much.
Love you too.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next month then.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Iggy. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You were listening to the Gypsy Wagon with your host, Don Thompson, from Dawn of the New Era. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you tomorrow on Iggy Garcia Live on Thursday at 9 p.m. Talk to you soon.